Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. Today we look ahead to the readings for this coming Sunday, the fifth Sunday of Easter. Notice that it is the fifth Sunday of Easter. Remember, there are 50 days of celebration. Easter is not something that happened back in March. Easter is something that's happening now, brothers and sisters. We're recounting, if you read the scriptures, we're recounting all the things that happened, all the graces that were poured out because of the death and the resurrection of Christ. We're seeing, we're experiencing lives changing right then and there. Don't you think that God has the same grace for you? That God desires to draw you to himself? Don't you think that he wants to pour out grace upon you that you might know him and love him and serve him more ardently, more faithfully? Don't settle for less. I go to church. I contribute to the support of the church. I'm there for the holy days. I even go to adoration sometimes. I'm a good Catholic. Are you? Are you really? You may well be, but I still think we need to ask that question. Am I a true disciple? Do people know me as a follower of Jesus Christ? They should. It should be clear. I don't mean that you go out and collar people and start preaching in their faces, but just by your priorities, by the topics of your conversation, by the way in which you treat other people, those three things alone should indicate whether you are Christian or not. Today, the church prays, Almighty ever-living God, constantly accomplish the Paschal mystery within us. Listen to that. Almighty ever-living God, constantly accomplish the Paschal mystery within us, that those you were pleased to make new in holy baptism may, under your protective care, bear much fruit and come to the joys of life eternal. Let that prayer be your prayer. Make it your own prayer this weekend. First reading is taken from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 14, verses 21 to 27. After Paul and Barnabas had proclaimed the good news to that city and made a considerable number of disciples, notice that? They were preaching out of a lived reality. They weren't just imparting information. They were preaching the very presence of God. They were preaching by the power of the Holy Spirit. And it changed lives. So should it with us. They returned to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch. They strengthened the spirits of the disciples and exhorted them to persevere in the faith, saying, It is necessary for us to undergo many hardships to enter the kingdom of God. So they don't deny that to be a Christian means to carry the cross. It is hard. But there's just nothing that outweighs an intimate relationship with God himself in the midst of the trials. They appointed elders for them in each church and with prayer and fasting commended them to the Lord in whom they had put their faith. Then they traveled through Pisidia and reached Pamphylia. After proclaiming the word at Perga, they went down to Attalia. From there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the work they had now accomplished. And when they arrived, they called the church together and reported what God had done with them and how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. If you get an opportunity and you have access to a computer, go online and just type in the journeys of St. Paul. Look at the map. Just look at the map of where he traveled. And most of that was walking. Some of it was by sea. But an awful lot of it was by walking. Brothers and sisters, sometimes we're called to reach out too, and we're afraid to take the two or three steps to the neighbor's backyard or two or three steps to another cubicle in our office to say something that you feel like God is asking you to say, to invite someone somewhere. to offer support if they're going through difficulty and bring them to Christ. There's so many ways, brothers and sisters, that God wants to use us, just as he did Paul and Barnabas. Psalm 145 tells us, I will praise your name forever, my King and my God. And we praise him by living in the truth. We praise him by being charitable to others. We praise him by kindness. We praise him by offering wisdom that he has given us. We praise him by sharing our priorities and what a central place God has in our life. And if he doesn't, let's pray that he do that in your life so that in effect, you may bring people to Christ by your kindness, by your mercy, by the clarity of your own commitments. I love it when I'm around people like that. And yes, we have to do it differently when we're with people who don't believe. We have to attract. And that doesn't mean that we preach down their throats. But it does mean, brothers and sisters, that we show people what a central place God has in our lives. He does. He has a central place in our lives. Does he, is the question. Is he dead center in your life or not? And if not, why not? I will praise your name forever, my King and my God. Let all your works give you thanks, O Lord. Let your faithful ones bless you. Let them discourse of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might. For your kingdom is a kingdom for all ages, and your dominion endures through all generations. That's the one we want to be close to, the one who's going to endure forever. The second reading for this Sunday is taken from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 to 5. Then I, John, saw a new heaven and a new earth. The former heaven and the former earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. I also saw the holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, God's dwelling is with the human race. He will dwell with them and they will be his people, and God himself will always be with them as their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death or mourning, wailing or pain, for the old order has passed away. In other words, when you die humanly, it is not the end of life, it is but the beginning. The old order has passed away. Jesus Christ conquered sin and death that you might live forever. The one who sat on the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. That means he can make you new. Not new when Scripture uses new. It doesn't mean a new model. An updated model of something. Oh, I have a new vacuum. I have a new car. I have this piece of equipment or whatever. When Scripture uses the word new, it means never having been seen before. Think about that. I make all things new. And the gospel from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 13, verses 31 to 33, and then 34 and 35. Now we're going back here to the end of the Last Supper because there is a critical message here. When Judas had left them, Jesus said, Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and God will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little while longer. I give you a new commandment. You know, the last words of someone are very, very important most often. And look at Jesus. The last words when he was speaking to all of them together. I give you a new commandment. Love one another. As I have loved you, so you also should love one another. This is how all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Brothers and sisters, we need to do something about this area. A little booklet that I've had out for some time, but if you haven't read it, called Captured by Mercy. I have two booklets on the mercy of God. One is on repentance, but this one is on really taking a look at the question of forgiveness. I said it just a couple of weeks ago, and I repeat it. It is one of the greatest obstacles in the Christian life to true discipleship and to holiness of life is a lack of forgiveness. You know, in the Lord's Prayer, we say to the Lord, we say, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Are you forgiving? Because if you're not, you're saying to Jesus, do with me what I do to others. If you don't forgive, you will not be forgiven. Take a look at my booklet, Captured by Mercy, if you haven't. You can go online. You can call the 800 number and get a copy of it, given at the end of the program. But the important thing, brothers and sisters, is that we learn that we need to forgive. Jesus forgave all those who persecuted him, all those who tortured him. He forgave, and you say, yeah, well, that's God. But brothers and sisters, you're given the Holy Spirit in baptism. The Holy Spirit can lead you into the fullness of truth. The Holy Spirit gives you wisdom. He gives you strength. He gives you courage. He gives you humility. Call upon the Holy Spirit. Please get rid of it. Get rid of that unforgiveness. It's like a boulder in your heart. It keeps you back from a real relationship with God. So read the booklet. See, I explain things, I believe, in a way that can be very helpful to you. I understand sometimes how terribly difficult it is, and I speak about that in the booklet. But I want you to see what God can do in the hearts of those who say, Lord, I will obey you. I don't know how to do this, but I will obey you. Brothers and sisters, when God forgives, God forgets. And God wants to do that for us and in us and through us. So I really urge you in this fifth Sunday of Easter, let the power of the resurrection begin to flow through your veins by saying to the Lord, I want to live in the power of your resurrection. I want to live faithful to you. I want to be your son or your daughter. I want to be a disciple of yours. I want to be known as a disciple of Jesus Christ. God will give that grace when we cry out to him. May God bless you. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.